Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you today. Happy Palm Sunday. Hope you like the shirt that I'm wearing for Palm Sunday. thank you. It is a nice color. Yes, I agree. Stephen, you wear this all the time, this color, don't you? Yeah. it's funny, eh? Sometimes a sermon comes together quite easily, and it's easy to preach it, and it just sort of flows nicely. But this week, this sermon's been a bit of a battle. And this is about the third variation of this sermon. So in my thinking, I'm thinking, well, this is going to apply to a few people here today. So I'm hopeful that what I've prepared, God is going to use as he does to speak to his people. So that's my prayer today, that he will speak powerfully I was going to say one or two people, but I want to say 10 or 11 people actually today. That would be great. And if it's more, praise the Lord. Peace in persecution. Peace and persecution. That's our subject matter for today. And I need to disclose also that it is quite a heavy message, but hopefully uplifting and encouraging as well. So in February 2015, you might recall the story of 21 Egyptian Christians who were captured by ISIS and taken to Libya. Shortly after their capture, they were led along the beach in these orange jumpsuits before each of them were violently martyred by their captors. A video was released, and in the caption, this is what their captors referred to them, the Christian martyrs. People of the cross, followers of the hostile Egyptian church. This was direct persecution for following Jesus. These Egyptian Christians died for their faith, for what they believed. And in their persecution, they had peace, knowing that they were going to meet their Maker. Peace and persecution. Today we are following on our series, Words of Life from the Tree of Death. And we look specifically at Jesus' words of peace in the face of persecution. So as Barbara has read for us this morning, this is what Jesus said. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As you know, these are some of the very, very last words that Jesus uttered from the cross. His life was all but over, and yet, somehow, he was calm, and he was ready. He was at peace. He spoke these words of life from the tree of death in the face of persecution all around him. And afterwards, he drew his final breath, and it is finally finished. Jesus has completed what he came to do. He has submitted fully to his Father's will, and now he is ready to return to him again. Just like what happened to those 21 Egyptian Christians in Libya, this has all happened in the context of persecution. All those around him, except for some of his loyal followers, are against him. They have wanted him to suffer and die, and they have seen to it personally that he would do this. This morning, we're going to look closely at these final words of his in the face of persecution. We're going to contrast these final moments with another person's final moments of persecution in the Bible. We're going to finish with what they mean for us today in the face of persecution that we face. So let's read from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 46. God, speak to us, we pray, through your word. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, do you remember Jesus' words, his first words from the cross? You can say. I see that lip reading. Yep, I can read some lips there, Brian. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They were persecuting Jesus, and his response is to pray for them. It is fitting that some of his final words here are also a prayer to his Father. Jesus has come from the Father. He was sent to earth by the Father. And Jesus has lived for the Father. His life on earth has brought honor and glory to his Father. And now he is ready to die and return to his Father once more. His life on earth is almost over, and he will be reunited with his Father. Now, this word Father and his relationship with his Father encompasses the whole concept of God throughout his life. For instance, in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached, how many times in it do you think Jesus refers to God as Father? Any guesses? How many, Jim? One? No, more than one. Any guesses? No? Okay, I see we're a quiet crowd today. That's okay. 17 times. In his final discussion with the disciples before his trial and crucifixion, he refers to God as Father 6 times. And when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, wrestling with God about what's coming up for him, he says, Abba, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. This is Jesus at his most intimate with his Father. One commentator remarks about Jesus' relationship with his Father, all his thoughts and deeds, desires and efforts ended toward his Father and the glorifying of his name. To accomplish his Father's will was his meat and drink. The love of his Father, his delight and bliss, and union with him the summit of all his hopes and all his desires. That's from F.W. Krumacher from his book, The Suffering Savior. Jesus completely loved and depended on his Father at this moment in the cross, and there was nobody else that he longed for at this moment. Father, into your hands, the hands of God. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, you will notice that the hands or hand of God are mentioned in so many different ways. For example, you have his hand of redemption, his hand of direction, victory, judgment, creation, leading, righteousness and comfort, just to name a few. There are so many more. God's hand is there to guide us and to welcome us. Here is Jesus on the cross. His hands have been nailed to the tree of death, and he is submitting his life back into his Father's hands. It's a beautiful picture of dependence and willingness in the face of persecution. History has come full circle at this moment in time. As we look at the hands of God, the pre-incarnate Christ creates the world by his own hand. The incarnate Christ is led by his Father's hand. The dying Christ commends his spirit into the Father's hands. The risen Christ ascends, welcomed by the Father's hands. And the Son of God now rules, as we know, seated at his Father's right hand. And friends, we receive salvation from his hand, from the finished work on the cross, from those hands that were willingly nailed to that wooden beam. Into your hands. I remember when my firstborn Noah was born and there were some complications. He wasn't breathing too well and he needed to be rushed to the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit, and they were there to help him. He spent the first 4 days of his life in an incubator with tubes and tests done on him to make sure that he was okay and that he could breathe on his own. I went down with him to the NICU, and I'll never forget that as we did, he grasped one of my fingers. There was nothing I could do for him except let him hold my hand and be with him precisely in that moment. When he was in the incubator and we were allowed to put our hands in to reassure him that we were there, he would try and grasp our hands and we would try and comfort him with our presence. This was an incredibly difficult and sacred time. And friends, this is an incredibly difficult and sacred time for our Jesus. He has given his all. He has nothing left. And he cries out to his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." The Bible says that he called this out with a loud voice. This was a triumphant call, the last thing Jesus had control of, his spirit, and he is surrendering it back to the Father. Jesus is ready to die. He's ready to return to the Father. He is dying as he lived, commending and depending upon his Father. Peace in the face of persecution. As we pause and look at all the words that Jesus uttered from the cross and how the Prince of Peace He showed and exemplified peace. In his word of forgiveness, he offered peace to those who were persecuting him. In his word of salvation, he brought peace to one of the criminals beside him. In his word of relationship, he gave peace to the widow, his mother, and disciple, John the Beloved. In his word of humanity, he forsook peace so that we could have it. In his word of distress, he brought peace to all who were thirsty. And here in his word of peace, he rests in the peace of his Father's hands while setting us at peace with God. Because of Jesus, we can have peace. We can live in and with peace. There is a saying that goes like this: no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Quite like it, eh? Yeah. Yeah, you've got to spell it, yeah. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus displayed true peace in the face of persecution. So we're going to take those final words, those final moments of Jesus with us into the final moments of another person in the Bible, a man named Stephen, who faced a similar amount of persecution as Jesus did and was also killed. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen, a man described as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, is seized by the elders and the religious teachers. He's brought before the Sanhedrin and he's basically told to beg for his life. He is persecuted for his beliefs. Stephen has been preaching Christ to the people, and the religious leaders do not like that at all. So in Acts 6 verse 15, this is what we read. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. In the very next chapter, the high priest begins to examine Stephen's testimony, and he asks him if the charges against him are true. And the charges are pretty big. They're blasphemy against Moses and against God. Stephen responds with a long speech that starts with Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith, going all the way down through Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and Solomon, who were all prominent people in Israel's history. In the speech, he is saying that the people of God not only missed God and went against him, but they killed the prophets, and they were in effect resisting the Holy Spirit. He finishes by saying to them that they have betrayed and murdered the righteous one that they have been waiting for, Jesus himself, and they have broken the Jewish law. As you can imagine, they are not too happy with this, and we'll pick up the story in verses 54 to 60. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Can you see the powerful similarities between Stephen and Jesus? Both were wrongfully accused of blasphemy. Both died a brutal and barbaric death. Both were persecuted for their beliefs and claims. Both talked about the hands of God. Both asked for the forgiveness of their betrayers and their murderers. And both prayed for their spirits to be received. As we read, Stephen saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. What a sight that must have been. Stephen was the only one recorded in Scripture who spoke two of the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. Father, forgive them and receive my spirit. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. And how appropriate that he died praying both the first and last prayer of Jesus from the cross. The one that he followed, the one that he had dedicated his life to. As one author writes, Stephen's love for Jesus shone brightly to indicate intimacy with Jesus as he bore the pain of Jesus at his own execution. Friends, this is an example for us in how to live our lives. It is highly unlikely that either you or I will face martyrdom for Jesus, but we know this happens in our world today, don't we? In many countries, Christians are persecuted for their belief in Jesus, and many have or will lose their lives for him. They are ready to die as they lived, following Jesus, taking up their cross, being persecuted. In May, we have Ewan Cameron from Open Doors coming to talk to us about the persecuted church. Which I'm sure will be both informing and challenging to us. But let me ask us today, how do we live for Jesus in the face of persecution? Many of us have experienced this in conversation with others. You might be having a conversation with a friend, a family member, or a neighbor, and you sense the opportunity to bring Jesus into it, and all of a sudden the mood changes. You might hear a comment like this, "Oh, you believe in that, do you?" Or the other person might just shut down, or they might try and steamroll you and your beliefs. How do you respond in situations like this? Do you speak up like Stephen did? Do you go quiet? Do you change the subject? Do you try and hide? Persecution comes in many shapes and forms. And within our society, let me tell you, there is real and there is deep persecution against following Jesus. If you felt persecuted, I want to encourage you with some words from Jesus. In his precursor to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave the Beatitudes. These are things that define his people, his followers, and his kingdom. Things like, blessed are the gentle, the merciful, the peacemakers, the pure in heart. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, he says this, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because of following Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And in verse 11 to 12, he says this, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When you are insulted, persecuted, ridiculed, mocked for your faith, the Bible says you are blessed. The Bible says that there is a great reward for you in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Friends, this all happened to Jesus. He was insulted, he was persecuted, he was falsely accused. And it all happened to Stephen as well. And most of the 12 apostles and the disciples of Jesus too. But these words apply to us as well today. When we are ridiculed for our faith, when we are insulted for our beliefs, when we are persecuted for following Jesus, we too can rejoice like Stephen and like Jesus, because we have a great reward. We shouldn't be surprised when we face persecution. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's a lonely thing. I understand that. And it's often the most painful, isn't it, when it comes from those who are closest to us, family members, close friends. Jesus said it's going to happen. You follow me for long enough and you're going to face ridicule, insults, mockery, and persecution for your faith. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, Jesus prayed. And just as he prayed this in the face of his persecution, and Stephen prayed it in the face of his persecution, when we face persecution and opposition in our lives, we can pray it too. Father, into your hands I commit this injustice, difficult situation, strained relationship, unresolved conflict, person, level of persecution that I face. In the face of persecution, Jesus rested in his Father's hands. In the face of persecution, Stephen rested in his Savior's hands. In the face of our persecution, whatever that looks like, we too can rest in our Savior's hands because he cares about what we go through. As we come to close this morning, I started this message with the example of people who were persecuted and martyred because of their faith in Jesus. And looking at Jesus' final words here on the cross in the face of persecution, and comparing them with Stephen's final moments too in the face of persecution, we can see that living and dying in peace is only possible because God is with us. Jesus promised his followers this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus wants us to live in peace with him and with each other. He promises us we will have this peace. And he also promises us that if we follow him, we will face opposition and we will face persecution in this life. In the face of this opposition and persecution, he wants us to have peace. He wants us to rest in the Father's hands, knowing that he has the situation, knowing that he is sovereign, and that he is at work. These last words of peace in the face of persecution from Jesus, they show us that he is ready to return to his Father. He is at peace. He's accomplished what he set out to do. And he wants us as his followers to be at peace in the face of the persecution that we face in this life as well. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we read your word and we don't like what it says. Because you say here in your word that we will face persecution. We will be insulted. We will be ridiculed. We might lose our lives for the sake of following you. But Jesus, my prayer is that you would be our peace in whatever persecution we face. Lord, we may not have to lose our lives, but we will face opposition from others for our beliefs. So my prayer is that you would give us your strength. Give us your peace. Help us to respond in a Christ-like way. And help us know that you are with us. And just as you promised to your followers, that great is our reward in heaven for the persecution that we face. So Lord, help us to be mindful of you as we go about this week. Maybe as we share our faith and we start to face persecution, let us rest in you, knowing that you give us perfect peace. We thank you for these words of yours, that Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.